This is the Koinos Community Church Podcast. Subscribe so that you can join us regularly as we look to find ways to close the gap between who we are and who God longs for us to be.
It is Mother's Day. Some of us have our moms with us still, some of us don't. Some of us are moms, some of us aren't. We're going to relate a couple of different stories today. I'm going to kind of step through one of them, and then we're going to read one about two different mothers. And this first, both are a little bit problematic, and so you'll notice that in both of these scenarios. But the first one's about a woman named Hannah. The second one's about a woman who they call her a Canaanite woman or a Syrophoenician woman, depending on which gospel you're looking at, whether it's a Matthew or Mark. We don't get a name there. But in this first story in the book of Samuel, it starts out with Samuel's origin story. And so Hannah is this woman, and the problematic part, I don't know, you guys might have a problem with this. I kind of do because I only have one wife. But this Hannah had, there was two wives in this scenario. And the other wife had like 10 kids, and Hannah had zero kids. And in their culture, on their time, and even today we have, there's a little bit of stigma around not having children if you're a woman who has a husband. And so that's problematic too, I think. But Hannah didn't have children, but she really wanted children. And so they would go up to this place called Shiloh every year, and they would pray and offer sacrifices and those types of things. And her husband was very kind to her, even though he had two wives. And he always would give her like a double portion. And he was like, "Aren't I good enough for you?" He's asking his wife, aren't I enough? And she's like, "Well, I want a child." I mean, that's like the icing on top of the cake or whatever, right? Not that they had icing on their cake. They might have that. But Hannah wanted this baby, wanted a baby really badly. And so she would go up and she would pray and they'd do their thing and they'd go back each year and they'd come back. She'd been praying for years and years, and she comes in this one time, and they'd gone and kind of had their meal together, but she wouldn't eat. She went up to the temple, up to the entrance to the temple, the gate, and there's a guy named Eli there who's the chief priest. He's like in charge of all the things that happen around that time of the year. And he's out there by the gate, and Hannah is praying, and she's praying for this child. One of the things she says, "O Lord of hosts, if only you'll look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." So she's saying before this, she's like, if you'll give me a child, if you give me a boy, I'll dedicate him to the Lord, right? The Nazarites wouldn't cut their hair. So you kind of have this sense, like John the Baptist was kind of like a Nazarite because he didn't drink and he kind of lived a life that was kind of an aesthetic kind of life. And she's saying, if you give me a child, I'm going to dedicate this child to you. So he doesn't have a choice. He's not going to drink when he grows up, so which is interesting in a whole different way. So she prays this to the Lord. She's praying, and Eli sees her praying. And in their culture, you didn't pray quietly. You prayed out loud. And so he's looking at this woman over here, and she's like, you can't see me on the podcast, but I'm kind of like just moving my lips without saying anything. And he thinks she's drunk because that's not how you pray in that time, in that space. And she's like, what's the matter with you? She's like, and she tells him that she's praying for this child. And he tells her to go home, and she feels like her prayer has been heard. And then within a certain amount of time, she is found to be pregnant. She has a child. And Elkanah, her husband, is like, well, what are we going to do? And she's like, well, when he's weaned, I'm going to take him up to the temple. And so when he's two and a half, 3 years old, when he's fully weaned, she takes him up to Shiloh and leaves him with this priest, with Eli the priest, and dedicates him to the Lord. She says, See, I was kind of, this is a whole chapter. I'm kind of consolidating it for you guys. For the child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent, I like that, lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is given to the Lord. And then she left him there for the Lord. And so if you read through the book of Samuel, you find some interesting stories. There's a story about Samuel when he's a little boy. Because, I mean, he's three when he's dropped off. There's a great little story about him when he's born. There's also a prayer that that they recorded from Hannah after this has happened. But I think the thing that kind of resonates with me and that resonates with us as parents, whether you're a mom or a dad or whether you have nieces and nephews or whoever the younger people in your life are, is that we get them for a time, but they are really, they belong to the Lord. And God can do what God wants to do with these people. And Hannah had the perspective to know that this child that you gave me is really really kind of on loan, so to speak. And because I've taken care of him for two or three years, I'm going to trust that God's going to take care of this child, Samuel, for the rest of his life. And so Samuel, I don't know if you're familiar with Samuel, but Samuel was kind of the last of the judges, but he was a prophet. So he had the book of the Judges, which is people would kind of, the people of Israel would do bad things and a judge would come in and fix it, and then the judge would do stupid things and then they'd kind of go on their way and then another judge would come in. And so Samuel kind of brings an end to that. And Samuel is the one who anoints King Saul kind of against Samuel's better judgment. He anoints King Saul and then he anoints David. And so we have kind of the beginning of monarchy, which is maybe also troubling as well. But Samuel's like, God is our king, right? So there's just all kinds of good things that Samuel tried to do for the people of Israel. And that wouldn't have happened had this mother not said, hey, I'm going to take this boy and I'm going to give him back to God. God, if you give this to me, I'm going to give it to you. And wouldn't our lives be richer and more full and more meaningful if we took the things we had and gave them back to God? And then there's another story. You have this woman that kind of took the risk of just continuing asking God for this blessing, this child. And then you have another woman who actually had a child, but something's wrong with that child. And so she comes to Jesus to get some help. I'm going to read the passage, and then we're going to talk about it in our groups. And you can let me know what you find problematic, and we'll discuss it a little bit. So Jesus had been preaching in a certain area, and he focused on the people of Israel, right? But there was these outlying areas where they were kind of close to, I don't know if they would call them borders necessarily, but to places that were not necessarily full of people who would worship Yahweh in the way they did. And so Jesus left that place and he went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting. People do this at Jesus every now and then. Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. It's like, shut her up, please. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. So we have this other mom who's just desperate. I think anybody who has people in our care or that we love, we would do anything for them. We would embarrass ourselves. Well, we do that anyways. We would embarrass ourselves. We would take any kind of risk to help fix whatever's going on that's wrong with our loved ones. And that's what this woman does here. I'll give you the passage if you need it. I also have some questions that we'll ask in response, and then we'll kind of come back and talk about it. So split up into groups of 3 to 5. And if you need the passage of scripture, let me know that. It's in Matthew 15, 21 through 28, if you want to look on your phone or whatnot. You guys need that? Passage. Do you guys need the passage? Do you need that? Okay. So I'm going to tell. Oh, so Ben will have the microphone, and we'll be going around. So I don't know if we did. You guys, you could just tell me this with a head nod or whatever. I don't think we have to reiterate the story necessarily. What did you note? Well, maybe we do. What is Jesus doing in the story? That's a kind of a loaded question. Anybody? I feel like you guys are talking about that. It could be loaded, right? What's he doing? Why is he in Tyre and Sidon if he's not supposed to be talking, if he didn't really have a mission to Tyre and Sidon? Did you guys talk about that? You know, he says he's for Israel, right? What? Yeah? No? Dave's got something over here.
Yeah, there was a lot of intentionality from him. The whole thing, I think, was a lesson. He went to that Gentile area. I mean, he calls this woman a dog, which is so out of character with Jesus that I think what he was doing, and Emily said that he's sort of playing devil's advocate because the disciples thought he was just for them and was just for Israel. And so they're all, send her away. And he's like, yeah, okay, she's a dog, we'll send her away. And then just kind of flips it on his head, surprising all of them after her persistence, healing her and kind of showing, no, he wasn't just for the lost sheep of the world. He was for everybody. So I think this was a sort of intentional lesson in some ways, the whole thing was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Anybody else?
Someone in our group.
Not named Carmen.
No, it wasn't me.
I know,
promise.
That's what I said, not named Carmen.
Thought maybe Jesus wanted to go to the beach.
Lebanon was lovely that time of year, right? Because it was. It's right up at the coast. And so, I mean, we didn't read the first 14 chapters of Matthew today, obviously. But if you kind of get to this point, you're like, he had just been in all this kind of back and forth with the Pharisees, with the Jews, and they were kind of rejecting him by this point. We're about halfway through, and there's an inkling that, okay, the words that he says is that I was sent to Israel, right? But we know over and over again that he also had that understanding that it was eventually going to go out to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. There's two passages in Matthew of a feeding, and there's a feeding of 5,000, and there's a feeding of 4,000. At the feeding of 5,000, they have 12 baskets left over. There's 12 tribes of Israel. At the feeding of 4,000, there's 7 baskets left over, and that has something to do with more with the Gentiles for the whole world. And so there's some symbolism in all those numbers and things like that. And so it's starting to go out there, and you're going to see when we get a little bit closer, well, We may have talked about this prior to Easter, but I don't remember at this point. But there's some Gentiles, some Greeks come looking to Jesus to talk to Jesus. Like, well, I wasn't sent to them, but he talks to them anyway. And so there's this sense that Jesus knows that his intentionality is for the people of Israel, but that message is going to be spread wider and wider. So there's a good thing. Yeah, and going to the beach is always nice. And he always liked to take his guys out on little excursions and things like that. So, because we learn as we go. We don't necessarily learn just sitting in here grabbing stuff. We learn as we're kind of moving and living our lives. What about who else is present in the story? We kind of talked about that a little bit. The disciples had some things to say about what was happening there. We looked at that. And they were always kind of, you kind of look at them as they're kind of like Secret Service for Jesus. They kind of want to be Secret Service, like they're going to protect him from stuff. And he's like, he really doesn't need that. What was surprising? I mean, there was some obvious surprisingness, but what were some other things that might be surprising in the story? Did you guys come up with anything other than Jesus calling somebody a dog? Anybody, anything besides that? Don't leave me hanging, folks. If you found, if you heard something, if you talked about it.
And I suppose, in terms of being called a dog, what surprised me to her about her is she just throws it right back at him. Mm. You know, she just takes what. The term dog and is immediately makes use of it and to make her case.
Yep. Some people love their dogs, right?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. And Elmer, my dog, we love that dog. He'll eat the crumbs. Definitely. And we don't have children. So around. Yeah, we could talk about Jesus kind of flipping this whole thing on its head and using some hyperbole and those types of things to help his disciples see that, no, there are other children besides just you guys. They're pretty thick-headed. I mean, I think we get that from reading Scripture and looking at Scripture. We get that they were slow learners. We would like to think that we're quicker learners than that. We've got the benefit of hindsight, but... So yeah, that it's surprising that she. I mean, I love it because I mean, I feel like often enough, the women are the ones who kind of are the ones that kind of are willing to advocate for themselves, right? And I think that's pretty cool. Like, and Jesus is down with it, and so I like that aspect of the story is that he's just like, yeah, you're right. As opposed to going, well, I'm going to argue with you some more about this. He just loves it and heals her daughter. What's next? Are you laughing over here? What's up? Okay. We're going to move over here to this side of the room real quick. Give her the microphone. Here you go. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. I mean, because he's not most men, right? He didn't see her the way everybody else saw her in that scenario.
Well, and I would argue that the women weren't willing to advocate for themselves. The women had no choice but to advocate for themselves because nobody else was going to do it for women.
True. Yeah, we don't know. I mean, it didn't say she was a single woman, right? So... Yes,
well, it's
Sam.
Mother's Day, and she was definitely out there in the crowd of all those men advocating for her child.
Yep.
Because the child had no voice at that point.
Yeah, the child had even less of a voice than she
did. She was very brave to face all that, and it shows how strong a mother's love can be and what she faced.
Absolutely, yes. That's what we're talking about. And, you know, I thought about starting off with what do I have to say about mothers, because I'm not one, and I don't have that same, but I have a mom, and I've had people in my life that have been good role models as moms, whether they had children or not, and the women who advocate for their kids, advocate for themselves, who have faith, you know, I think about Hannah, and I think about Rachel, who also didn't have a child, Elizabeth, who didn't have a child, Sarah, who was 90 something years old and hadn't had a child. You think of all these different women who just had faith that God still loved them in spite of their circumstances. And sometimes it worked out and sometimes it didn't work out. There's just that sense that God hears those prayers, and that God, there's a lot of love that filters through our moms into our lives, and I think that that shines through in this lady, this Canaanite woman. She was willing to embarrass herself, you know, and not shut up just because 12 men told her to be quiet and go away. So I like that. Anything as far as who you relate with or identify with in these stories? Got to be careful here because some of us are pretty disciple-like in this. Like, just not in a good way disciple-like either. Anything? Did y'all talk about that? Did you get that far? Her. Yep. You identify with that? Can you relate the story to today?
Here I am with my weekly Power Dynamics talk. I guess to compare it to today, we often like the status quo and people to stay in their lane. And I love that Jesus respects her advocacy for herself, that she does push back against it and says, no, like, that's not okay. I'm not okay with that. That's not right. And he's like, okay, like, that's cool. And I think in our society we tend to be those disciples that just like, oh, stick to playing basketball. You know, this is, stick to your thing and leave things the way they are. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
I love that.
That's good. Yes.
I was thinking that on a smaller scale sometimes too, like we kind of let the social niceties or the politics of whatever situation we're in kind of get in the way of pushing that envelope a little bit. And I think it's important to remember that shameless advocacy, especially when it's on behalf of someone else, is still important, and to not let that get in the way.
Yeah. It's one thing to stand up for yourself. It's another thing to stand up for others or help give voice to somebody that doesn't have a voice, right? Kind of what Sandy was saying, that child wasn't going to have that opportunity. That child says a demon, that could have been any number of ailments that was causing that kid to have those troubles. And yeah, no chance for her to come find Jesus, but her mom was able to on her behalf. So, yeah, that's good. There's also, okay, so kind of related to that, to both of those things, I think about, again, we go back to this, the disciples who have been marginalized by the Pharisees and the larger socio-political dynamics that are happening in Israel right then. They've been marginalized, but then they too are marginalizing others. And I think that's part of the thing we have to consider. We have discussions around here a little bit about just the church in America thinking they have kind of the inroad on what's right and what's wrong and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, and how love plays itself out in people's lives. And Jesus, I think, in this type of a story is like, well, the final advocate is Jesus himself. And we have to look to him before we look to anything else or any other persuasion. We have to look to who Jesus is and how he treated people, how he treated women, how he treated people that are marginalized, how he treated people who are in power. And and so we've got a couple of great examples today of people who are kind of understanding that their submission is to God. Hannah knows that if something's going to happen in her life, it's going to be because she advocates to God for it. And this woman, this Canaanite anonymous woman, knows that if something's going to happen in her life, she's going to go to this son of David. I think she calls him the son of David. She understands it, who this is, when other people around him might not have acknowledged that yet. And so as humans, that's what we can take from these stories, is that our final person to advocate to, that will advocate for us, is God in that person of Jesus Christ. And so as we kind of close out today, Dave is going to come and lead us in a song. And I'll pray for us before we close. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the discussion we can have around your scripture, around your life. You give us a template of sorts of how to treat others and how to live our lives in such a way that people are lifted and cared for. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of people like Hannah and for this woman who we don't even have a name for, but who gets mentioned in two different gospels because she stood up for her kid and she knew who to come to. Lord, and I just pray that we would, in the same way, come to you with the things that we need, and that, yeah, we would receive that kind of loving response that you give to her. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Koinos podcast. If you like what you hear, like, subscribe, and share it. You can connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at KoinosCC and on YouTube at Koinos Community Church. Until next time, be well, do good, and love others.